colder weather. Maybe tomorrow will be better. Can I call you then? She said, you're around the man.
Matt Buballa here with you on 720 WGN. Thanks for staying up all night with us, everybody. It's 3:07 a.m. We go until 5 a.m. when we'll be joined by Orion Samuelson for the morning show. Then you got your Mike Steven with Outside the Loop and Sweet Lou Manfredini, followed by John Williams. So it's a good day here at WGN Radio. Keep us on all morning long as you're staying warm, we hope. If you're running out today, tomorrow is probably the time to go get the groceries for the week, because Tuesday, Wednesday, negatives for the high temperature of the day, negatives down in the 20s for the overnight lows coming up on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. But joining us on the phone right now is a man who will scoff at those temperatures because he's been to the South Pole. He's walked the South Pole by himself, I believe, for 50 days. The book is called Silence in the Age of Noise by Erling Kagge. We'll join him on the phone here in a second. I want to read you just a quick excerpt of the book because it's interesting thinking about silence. We have a lot of noise in our lives, not just our cell phones and our whatever we hold in our hand or the radio or whatever we have going seemingly at all times. Unless you're reading a book or a newspaper, do you ever have time for silence in your life? Maybe when you're not even reading anything. And does Erling mean silence just as in turn off your phone, turn off your TV, or does he mean contemplative thinking and sitting and hearing the world around you without all the man-made noise that we create? He writes in the book, "At school I learned about sound waves. Sound is physical and can be measured in decibels, though I find it unsatisfying to measure sound with a number chart. Silence is more of an idea, a notion. The silence around us may contain a lot, but the most interesting kind of silence is the one that lies within. A silence which each of us must create. I no longer try to create absolute silence around me. The silence that I am after is the silence within." Erling, thank you so much for being on the phone with us this morning. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning to us, but is it where are you at, Erling? Where are you located in the world right now?
I'm in Norway, just about getting ready to go out skiing.
To go out skiing. Excellent. Good for you. Well, that sounds like fun.
That's my life.
So is it about 10 in the morning there, I'm guessing? Is it about 7 hours out of us?
Exactly. 10 in the morning. Yeah. Beautiful morning in Norway.
Well, thank you very much for being on the phone with us. I was mentioning a moment ago, this week in Chicago coming up, we have a couple days with below zero high temperatures and lows down Fahrenheit in the negative 20s. I imagine to you that doesn't sound like that big of a deal.
Somewhat kind of clothes I'm wearing, but it's but of course walking to the North Pole that went down to minus 54 centigrade or about 60 Fahrenheit, but still I think in Chicago on a cold day with heavy winds, I still find it very chilly.
good. Well, at least we know that we're we're as tough as a guy that's walked the North Pole, the South Pole, and Mount Everest. You've done the three poles, Erling. You've walked by foot on all three of those. And in the book I was reading about, I believe it was 50 days you walked alone at the South Pole. Is that the right? Do I have the dates right? The amount right?
Yeah, I walked for 50 days and nights under the midnight sun into this huge white nothingness. And I didn't bring a radio, so I did not have anyone to talk to. That expedition learned me a great lesson about silence, because, of course, back home, it's so much noise that they hardly hear or feel the noise, but down there it was so quiet. So it was very enriching, and also learned me, all the importance of silence. Later in life, I got three teenage daughters, I have a decent job, and life is very much about noise. And that's why I sat down to write this book about what silence is and where it is and why it's important.
Erling, in the book you write about when you're walking at the South Pole that at first everything is just kind of a blinding whiteness, but the more you walk, the more you're around it, you start realizing that there's different shades and hues to the snow, there's different shapes in the snow, that it's not just a mass of one shape of whiteness, that there's all this texture and different definition to it. Is it the same thing with silence when we gather silence around us? Do we find that sort of like the snow, even though it seems to be one thing, it has many different shapes and forms to it?
Yes, I think that's a very valid point. And it's important, you know, keep in mind that your silence will be different from my silence, and in the sense that I think the most important silence is the silence within. Of course, it's great with silence surrounding us, but I still think, as I experienced towards the South Pole, that the silence I was carrying with me, that's always inside you and me, that's the most important silence. And of course, that silence is partly about yourself, and that's why it's different from you than from me.
Well, is there a type of silence we should be trying to achieve? When I think about sitting quietly with no man-made noise around me, no phone or television or radio or anything like that, I kind of think of that as, I guess, meditation-type silence. Is that what we're doing? Are we meditating? Should we be thinking? Or do you try to achieve a silence where you're kind of absolutely shutting your brain off and not, you know, having thoughts or the life that you're leading fill your mind while you're sitting in the quiet?
I think, you know, in a busy day, I think it's, you know, it's difficult to shut out the world for too long. So then I find silence when I'm having a shower in the morning. I find silence when I'm making breakfast for my kids. I find silence when I walk to the metro station. Maybe when I walk the stairs, I find silence when I'm cooking in the evening. And it's definitely when I do the dishes. But then, you know, in the weekends, I can find silence while walking on skis or walking on my feet. And sometimes it's difficult, other times it's easy. But when people tell me that they're too busy to find silence, they're kind of too important to find silence, I don't believe it, because it's there all the time. But you have to make a little effort, because, of course, noise is the easy solution. And noise is very much about being distracted. It's about expectations. It's about living through your devices, your smartphones. And while silence is slightly more complicated to explore, just kind of start to listen to yourself and not living through other people or through your devices.
So that's interesting to me. I'm trying to think about, like, even do we need to find, is silence like something we need to gather in quantity, like get time away from everything and have silence, or should we even be studying the silence in our every moment of life? So like when you're having a conversation with somebody, we always talk about the words that they say or things like that, but is the silence in what they're saying just as important? The pauses, the hesitations, is that something that we should be more aware of as well?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I think, you know, the silence during a conversation is very, very important. And also when you're listening to music, seeing movies, silence is also very important. But still, you know, I don't think anyone has to take it to an extreme. I'm not anti-technology. Technology has, you know, many good things. And your smartphone, you know, is making life in one way more easy, more simple. But unfortunately, it's also, you know, making people more depressed, more restless. People feel more lonely. So it has gone too far. And that's why I think it's smart now in our daily lives to just explore our own sides. Of course, as I said, you can use techniques like meditation or yoga and mindfulness to explore the silence. But I think that's good ideas. The silence I'm thinking about is you don't need any techniques at all. You just need to settle down, relax, you know, leave your phone in a different room and start to listen to yourself for 2 minutes or maybe a few hours.
My guess is that our views in the world have changed on silence very much in, say, the last 40 or 50 years. If we think about the technology that was available for our grandparents, they maybe had TV, radio, but didn't have everything else always inundating them. And I imagine silence was more commonplace. Nowadays, if things are, somebody might say, oh, it's too silent, it's too quiet, or it's like a scary movie type thing. When suddenly things are silent, you're on edge. And I wonder if you think that our view of silence is askew, that we don't think the right way about silence. We're scared of it. We're afraid of it. We want to fill the air with noise at all times.
I think that's a very good observation, and I think man has always had a hard time dealing with silence, doing nothing. But today, of course, it's so much more noise, and not only, you know, from the last 40 or 50 years, but I think just from the last 4 or 5 years, the world has been, you know, exploding in noise. And when I look at my own daughters, you know, they try to avoid silence, they try to avoid boredom. And what I observe is that the more they try to avoid boredom, the more bored they get. And that's kind of opposite to my experience from being in nature, like walking to the poles or climbing Everest, is that the more silent I become on an expedition, the more I hear. And that experience is so fantastic. And I want my kids, you know, to have the same kind of experiences, not every day, but every now and then.
Erling, there was a reporter, I want to say from Time Magazine, I apologize, I can't remember now, I talked to about 3 years ago, and she had just gone on some retreat, like for 3 or 4 or 5 days, that was an absolute silent retreat, no phones, no talking, no anything. And after the first day, she thought, this is the goofiest thing I've ever done, but by day 3 or 4, she was really into it and said, like, she could see the flowers better and smell things better and was getting so in touch with nature. Do you think that silence can help not just clear our mind, but enhance our senses and our connection with the world around us?
Yeah, I think her experience is, you know, it's very common experience. As soon as you choose to, you know, explore yourself in silence, then you become hyper aware of your surroundings and about yourself. But still, I once flew from Norway to Sri Lanka to go to this retreat in silence and do yoga and live healthy. I returned back home. I felt enriched, but I also felt a bit stupid that I had to fly around half the world to, you know, experience silence and have a different life, because, you know, you could lay down in a bathtub or walk, and then you'll experience, you know, the same kind of silence.
Erling, your phone is breaking up. I know you're headed off skiing, so I want you to have some fun. I'm going to have to let you go just because the phone is breaking up a little bit tough on us. But if you ever get to the States, if you're ever in Chicago, I'd love to have you on the show again. You're fascinating. You've got so many great stories in the book. Again, it's called Silence in the Age of Noise. Erling Kagi, I hope we talk to you again, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Be safe on the slopes. Erling Kagi is in Norway. And the book is Silence in the Age of Noise, and it really is fascinating, and he has some fascinating stories.